Doing Perek Bereishis, Perek Lamed Tes. Basically, the story of Yosef and Eishes Potiphar. So it's an interesting story. And what's that?
I was looking through the Shabbos and I had a few questions about it.
Okay, good. So it's an interesting story that I'd like to elaborate on, according to Rashi. Okay, I think I have no idea of how Rashi is learning this whole story. And I'd like to, build up and elaborate on some of the details of the story. So basically, it starts with the problem. Okay, the problem is do you guys know the basic storyline? Right, Yosef is by the wife of Potiphar. He gets sold to Potiphar, right? And who's like whatever the head butcher or the head slaughterer or whatever it is. And he's very successful in the house of this Potiphar. And Hashem is with him, and he finds favor in his eyes, and the guy gives him in control of basically the whole house, except for his wife, or except for his food, whatever. And Yosef is good looking, and sure enough, the wife of Potiphar basically propositions Yosef to sleep with her. He refuses, and he says, "How could I do it? My master leaves everything except for you to me. And that's it. And how could I do this terrible thing and sin to God?"
Two reasons.
One is like to my master, and then isn't sin to God, which Rashi says means Ben Noach is Aser and Arayas. How could I do that? And then, sure enough, as she tried, talked to him every single day, he wouldn't listen to her, to sleep with her, to be with her. And one day, she basically, there was no one around. Rashi explained it was a special day. They all went out to the church or whatever. The ways of Zara. She said, "Today's the day." And she went and she grabbed him to sleep with me, and he ran away and left his beggar there. And she saw that his beggar was there, so she called out and says, "Hey, look at this, you brought this givri here, this Jew, this givri, to Tzachik Banu." He says, "He tried to sleep with me, and I called out, and then he ran away, and here it is, he left his shirt here, right there, his beggar." And then, sure enough, she told her husband about it. And she told him the whole story, and when he heard about this, he basically got very angry and he threw him in jail. Right? And so that's the basic story. Okay, in a nutshell. Okay, so what I want to do is look at Rashi. Rashi is basically, the basic outline of Parshas Vayeshev is as follows. Starts off, the first half, or first whatever, is Yosef and the brothers. Yosef selling, and the brothers selling Yosef. Okay, that's the first step. The second story is the story of Yehuda and Tamar. Okay, which the Rashi says, what's the continuity between the two? It says that Yehuda was the leader, and because he sold Yosef, and they said he was able to convince him to sell Yosef, so the brother said, "Hey, if you would have told us to save him, then we would have done that." So they were angry at Yehuda, and they took him down from his like position of power. And that kind of was like a setup for the whole story of Yehuda and Tamar and whatever. So that's kind of the digression there. And then the next part after that is this story of Potiphar. It's Potiphar. So the question was, what's Yosef and then the house of Potiphar? So what's the continuity? So Rashi says the simple explanation of the continuity is that it was doing the story of Yosef being sold. It digressed because it was talking about Yehuda and Tamar. Now it's back to the continuation. We return to the story of Yosef being sold to Mitzrayim, and this is the first thing. Yosef was sold to Potiphar. So, but Rashi brings down another pshat. And this is a very, very difficult Rashi. Oh, this is Rashi on Pasuk Aleph. Oh, Lamed Tes Aleph. K'dei lismoch ma'isei ishto shel Potiphar l'ma'isei Tamar. In order to make the juxtaposition between the story of the wife of Potiphar and the story of Tamar. Lomar lacha, to teach you, ma'azu l'shem shemayim, just like Tamar was doing what she did l'shem shemayim, that she was sleeping with Yehuda, trying to have kids with Yehuda, be part of the Shvatim, and she writes till she had a right to do it, Yehuda agreed with her. Avzu l'shem shemayim, so too, the wife of Potiphar was doing it l'shem shemayim.
She was already married.
She did l'shem shemayim. Shirasa, what was l'shem shemayim? Shirasa b'itzer alog inshallah. What? Lamitas Aleph. Lamitas Aleph. Gracious. Lamitas Aleph. What's l'shem shemayim? In the middle of it, yeah. Shirasta, it's the Rologin Shalah. she saw in her astrology, she'asila l'haim idban mimenu, that she would ultimately in the future end up raising children from Yosef. Ve'eniyodas, and she didn't know, imimena imibita, whether it would be through her or through her daughter. Okay, she wasn't sure if it would be through her or through her daughter. Who's her daughter? So the daughter is the Bas Potiphar. Okay? Daughter's Bas Potiphar. Well, who's that? So there's a later story, basically, when Yosef became second to king in Parshas Miketz. So Yosef raised him up in power, and this is in Perek Mem Aleph Pasuk Nun. Pasuk, whoop, no, a little bit before that, hold on. Okay, good. Perek Mem Aleph. Hold on a second.
Hey, where's Mem Aleph?
So he gave him Asnas, the daughter of Potipharah, right, for a wife. So Yosef married the daughter of Potipharah. Now Potipharah sounds a lot like Potiphar, right? It just becomes two words and there's an ayin on Pharah instead of far. Right? So Rashi says it's the same guy. Potipharah, who Potiphar? Finikra Potipharah al Shinistaris me elav, Lafisha Laka Khaz Yosef Lameshka Zahar. So the way they interpret this means like this, that Potiphar was a little guy. He bought Yosef in order to sleep with him. Okay.
Original. Yeah, was it in four?
Yeah, it's in this one, yeah. Okay? Parak Mem Aleph. Okay, so he bought Yosef in order for that purpose. And originally, when he originally bought him. And that was, God didn't want that to go anywhere. So basically, God made him sterile. Okay? Like he made him some sort of an illness. The Ramban explains that. He had some sort of an illness. Here it is. Some sort of an illness which caused him to be sterile. And therefore, Pharaoh could mean like some sort of a reference to the fact that he was sterile. That's why he's called the Sris Paro. Sris is like a eunuch, is someone who's sterile. So he had like an illness, basically, that. So Para is a reference to that. That's what Rashi says. But basically, Rashi's saying it's the same guy. Okay? And it's the daughter of this Potiphar, right? Which is kind of interesting, because it's kind of interesting that he ended up marrying
his
the daughter.
With this wife? Or
yeah.
Had
oh, I don't know. This wife. Rashi is learning it's this wife. Okay. So it's kind of funny. This woman doesn't sound to be a very good friend of Yosef's at the end of the day, right? Sounds to be pretty not a great person. And the Rashi calls Sharura, and now it turns out, funny enough, Yosef ends up marrying her daughter. Okay? Fine. That's funny in its own right, but whatever. That's not the problem. So now let's back to our Rashi. So Rashi's saying, she knew in her astrology that Yosef was going to end up having kids through her. Either through her or through her daughter, when she wasn't sure. Right? She wasn't sure. So therefore, she was L'shem Shemayim. That's why she did this whole thing. That's why she was begging Yosef to sleep with her.
A few problems with that.
Okay. First of all, one problem is
she's a married woman.
Okay, she's a married woman.
So Shemayim, when she threw in jail,
but it's supposed to be okay. Even an Asha says she's not allowed to have relations with anybody else.
True.
There.
It's true.
Just the whole astrology.
Okay, what's astrology? How exactly did she know through astrology this? It's a pretty good prediction, right?
Yeah.
It is a pretty strange prediction. How exactly did she know that? Right. It's kind of pretty good, right?
It obviously wasn't true.
Well, right, but then what's Rashi saying if it wasn't? I mean, it does seem like it ended up being the case. So what is Rashi saying?
And if it was L'shem Shemayim, why would she go and lie and make up this whole thing about him to get him in trouble and he ended up getting thrown in jail?
Right.
I mean, it's like mentally she didn't have to
right.
She didn't have to make like the whole crazy. She shouldn't have to wait until a time when everybody else is away and hide it. It should be like, oh, this is the astrology, so.
Right. Okay. Okay. Good. And then Elisa asks a different question. It's like, what's the L'shem Shemayim? Since when is astrology L'shem Shemayim? Let's say it is. She'll say she knew through astrology that it's true. Okay, isn't that L'shem Shemayim? But astrology isn't Shemayim. Like, how does it end in Shemayim? Right? doesn't really seem to be. What if I have no something to do astrology and try to do it? That's called the Shem Shemayim. How's that? Right? I mean, Tamar was the Shem Shemayim. If she wanted to be Ma'amid Shlachtim through Yehuda, and she had a right to. She was married to him, and Yehuda was wrong. And there's Yibam. I mean, there's all kinds of things. But she was, and you see, Yehuda said Sadka Menas. She was right. So that was really Shem Shemayim. But this is what she knows through her astrology is something, 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 and therefore all of a sudden becomes Shem Shemayim. Right? Besides, of course, she's Nesh Zesh. But anyways, the whole premise of the thing doesn't really add up. Right?
There was another situation where astrology also played a part, which I think it's when Paro decided to throw all the boys in the Nile.
Mm-hmm.
So it seems like the Egyptians had some kind of science at the time, quote-unquote, where their scientists could figure out based on certain...
Right.
Okay. Factors, what, you know,
yes.
Cause and effect.
Okay. This is a hard one, though.
Yeah.
If it's cause and effect, then wouldn't it be Nana Rosara?
Okay. And it's just hard anyway. How could you somehow predict this kind? This is a very particular type of a thing, you know?
Right.
But you're right. I mean, any one of them has to be explained. I mean, they're all difficult and they all have to be explained, but this is the one we've got here. Pretty strange, huh?
I thought it was interesting how when she when Yosef refused her, the two reasons he gave and the order that he gave it in was also very interesting. So the first reason he gave was
he says, "Hey, Nadam,
master
is giving
me
everything,
right? It would be wrong to do this to my master, who's been so good to me.
Right.
And it would also be an avera."
Right.
So I thought that psychologically it made sense for him to say it in that order, because if you're trying to convince somebody, she's not going to be convinced by, oh, this is a sin, so we shouldn't do it.
Right.
But if you bring in the fact that, your husband's a good person, he's been nice to me, whatever, make her feel guilt, that it's like psychological arguments.
So why would she mention altogether? I hear that point. So why would he even mention that it's a sin? Okay, or she knows... I mean, that's what who cares? Sounds like right. And he's mentioning to our Chatos Elokim. I can't do it because it's a sin to God.
Well,
I understand
really
about the master. But why is he telling her? But she's making the claim to him, and he's telling her this story. I understand in his mind it's Chatos Elokim, but why is he sharing that with her? It's nothing to do with her.
Because
that's his problem. There's another funny Rashi. It says like this. It says that he didn't listen to her. It says, Vahikadabra Yosef and Yud, Yom Yom, when as she spoke to him every single day, Velo Shama Elaha. He didn't listen to her. Lishkav etzla. To sleep near her. Etzla. Leo's ima. To be with her. So Rashi says, that's a funny lashon. Lishkav etzla. Sleep near her. Right? Lishkav ima or something. With her. So Rashi says, afil below tashmish. To sleep with her. Next to her. Even without having tashmish. Just to sleep, you know. So that was like one of her claims, was just to sleep near him. It's a funny kind of a claim. It seems like it's pretty transparent. Right, it's not very. Doesn't seem like it would work that well, you know. And then Leo's ima. What does that mean? To be with her, Olam Haba. What does that mean? That she claimed that she wanted to be with him in Olam Haba or something? Like she didn't listen to that. It's like a funny kind of a claim. What does that mean? Rashi sounds like he's saying that the Dora juxtaposed these two things to draw the connection, the parallel between Tamar and this Ish Potiphar. But I mean, Tamar is this great, seems like a great tzaddikas. And Eish Potiphar does not sound anything like that. Right? It's like a funny type of thing for Torah to do. So you're right, it sounds like she's just being very manipulative. She just seems like a terrible person. Right? And yet, it's like the Rashi sounds out of place. You read the Parsha and then you read that Rashi, it just doesn't match up. I'll tell you what I'm thinking here. So I want to take a liberty of... again, I have an idea just to elaborate on the story a little bit. Maybe afterwards you can try to chase how I can, you know, where I'm coming from, but I just want to elaborate on the story a little bit. Okay, here's maybe one thing. Let's look at... I want to look at Yosef a little bit. Let's study about who he was, and let's try to fill out the stories. Because obviously, here's like maybe the stop. There's like a little bit of a disconnect between the reading of the story and that Rashi. read the story, you get one picture, and that Rashi is presenting a different picture. So maybe we have to fill in, bridge that gap a little bit, okay? So if we look at the story, basically Yosef went down, he was this servant to Potiphar, right? And it says, Hashem was with Yosef, Vayi Hashem es Yosef, Vayi Yesh Masliach, Vayi Potiphar, Vayi Beveis Adon on the Mitzri, very successful in the house of his master. Vayar Adonu Ki Hashem Ito, his master saw that Hashem was with him. V'chol Asher was Hashem Masliach B'yada. Everything that he did, Hashem made him successful. So how does master see that Hashem was with him? Right. So Rashi says, oh, Shem Shemayim Shagar B'Piv. Because the name of God was frequent in his mouth. He talked about Hashem. When he was successful, he used to teach people to talk about Hashem. Hashem. You see when by Paro, he came to interpret the dreams. He says, I heard that you interpret dreams. He says, no, he had a little campus from him. It's all God. Right? It's all. Yosef was a person who talked about Hashem. It was not a secret. He didn't hide his religion. He was very open and expressive about HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Okay? And that's what I'm saying is then when he was successful, his master saw that Hashem was with him. Right? Ramban doesn't buy it. Ramban says he doesn't think that. He says it means his master saw that he was very, very, very super duper successful, that it had to be some sort of Hashgach. But Rashi is saying, no, it literally means he talked about Hashem. That's the way Rashi learns. Okay. So Yosef talked about Hashem. He tied his success to Hashem. Now, what happens is like this, is where is she coming from? Where is his wife coming from? The wife of Potiphar. Was she just attracted to his good looks? Okay, well, actually, what does it say? It says, one of the Rashi says, Vayyad Zav Esav fine, it says, Vayyad Zav Esav Esav fine, it says, Vayyad Zav Esav 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 basically left and trusted him with everything except his wife. And Yosef was very good looking. So Rashi says, when Yosef saw himself ruling, started eating and drinking and playing with his hair, like rolling his hair. Amar Gosh Baruch Hu, Hashem said, Avicha Misabel Vata Misalsa Basarich, your father is mourning and you're playing with your hair? Ani Megarach HaBasadov. I'm going to incite the bear, her, against you. And Yad, and then what happened. She came. Now, where did she come from? Was she just a woman with a husband who's sterile, who is looking for a good-looking guy, successful, wealthy guy, so to speak, servant guy who is very, you know. So I want to say no. She was a person who really understood Yosef. Okay? She was a person, Yosef talked about HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and she was different from all the other mitzvah. She was a person who was able to relate to Yosef on an intellectual level. She understood on some level what Yosef was about, who he was, what he lived for, what his ideals were, what his values were. He talked about Hashem, Shem Shai Shagor Repiv, and she appreciated that. And she saw that led him to success, and she wanted to be with him. It wasn't just an instinctual thing, but it was based upon the fact that she knew who he was. She saw who he was, and she saw who she was. She was a unique mitzress. She raised her daughter to be a unique mitzress. You see, her daughter actually ended up marrying Yosef. And she knew that Yosef and Mitzrayim is a little bit of a funny thing. How is Yosef and Mitzrayim going to find their wife? After all, the Mitzrayim are totally idolatrous, instinctual. It's a very, very low level of society. How is this Yosef, this great Chacham, Shem Shemayim Shagar B'Piv, going to meet a girl? He's not going to. There's no one out there. There's two people out there. There's her and her daughter. And she knew, she understood Yosef, and she understood his mission and what he stood for. She knew he was a Jew. She turned on him later, which we'll get to, she said, you brought this Ish Ivri, let's not think one, it's Ivri. And the Mitzrim looked down at Ivrim. Right? So you saw by the brothers, the Mitzrim wouldn't eat with them because they were like an abomination. But she knew who Ivri. Ivri was like a family. They knew. They're from Avram Avinu. And she understood that Yosef was involved in a mission. And he was an Ivri. And she wanted to be a part of it. She appreciated it and she wanted to be a part of it. And that was her demand. And she knew, her argument to Yosef wasn't just sleep with me. It was be with me. Lie with me, sleep with me, be with me in Olam Haba. It was like a multi-dimensional play. They had a relationship. They talked. There was it wasn't, you could appreciate Yosef's nisayon. It's like, you know, it's one of those nisayonos that he managed to. But she wasn't just a beautiful woman every day throwing herself at him. That's like becomes like stale. What's the story? She, they make Dabra Yosef Yom Yom. They talked. They had interactions. And Hara, she had an argument. Yosef, who are you going to marry? I'm out of place. She's arguing. I'm out of place in Mitzrayim. I have this crazy husband who's trying to take you for homosexuality. You're in Mitzrayim and you're stuck here in this type of a thing. We're two people in Mitzrayim who could actually be together and we could raise a family. And her argument was, why don't we have a kid? And we won't tell my husband, obviously it'll be a secret, and we'll have the kid and you'll raise him. We'll raise him. After all, he raised the whole house. He was in charge of the house. Right? That's what it says. The master put in charge of everything. So she's basically saying is that it's true there's a slight technicality that I'm married, but let's forget about that. And let's together pursue this mission.
I was just starting to feel bad for her. She claimed it.
But Yosef said that there's one thing you have to understand. See, my philosophy is a philosophy which is centered on truth and centered on Kadosh Baruch Hu. And as great as the idea sounds, that L'shem Shemayim, this is the best shidduch. The shidduch made in Shemayim. But there's a problem. You're an Eishes Esh. And the Chatasi Le'elokem. Right? That there's Ben Noach as Sav al Arayos. And the ends don't justify the means. It seems like it's the greatest shidduch, and where else are we going to get a great shidduch like this? I don't know. I just know that God says that this is asar, and it's wrong with your husband, and I simply can't do it, and I can't sell out. And if we look the other way for 1 minute, then everything will be great, but we can't look the other way for 1 minute. And as much as we want it, and as much as we have great goals in mind, great ideals, raising a family who's centered around great ideas, but you simply can't bend just for once in order to do it. And that's what he says with Asiel Kim. He wasn't just saying his own personal conflict. He was explaining it to her. He was explaining to her his philosophy. He explained to her in his way that this is, she's making mistakes. She's getting carried away. She's attached to the parts of the ideology, but not to the core truth of the ideology. I don't know. I'm not sure. They're both, but that's also part of it. That's also part of it, is that it's morally wrong. She's saying it's morally wrong and it's Avayasa. But they're both having the same point. It's morally wrong and it's like Arayas wrong. It's Gil Arayas wrong. Just hold on a second. So then what happened is like this. So then she did is, oh, so he said no. So she basically claimed that he didn't listen. Lishka Betsa Leos Ima. Maybe I could understand it. Says, fine, if you don't want to actually consummate the relationship, at least sleep next to me. At least we could be buddies. At least we could hang together, have some sort of a platonic relationship. Although it's not necessarily going to be, we're not going to look as an Isra of Bia, but at least we could sleep next to me. And if not that, at least we could be together in Olam Haba. Maybe at least we could learn together. We could have some sort of a philosophical friendship, a philosophical relationship. But he basically says it doesn't work. He knew the idea that platonic friendships never work, and that this thing is not a good idea. It doesn't work. So as much as it may be enticing, because she is a special person, and she was a special person, and he did end up marrying her daughter, who was raised in her, in her ideology, but it couldn't happen. So what she did is like this. She said, she basically picked her day, and now she says, it came the best day. Yom Tzchok, Yom Eichelon, Shilchu Klum Beis Hodzar. It was basically Rashi and Nidav. But basically, it was like this day where they're all going to church. Amra, Ein Yom Hagun Lizakik Yosef Kim. There's no better day than today. Okay? Amr Lam Cholani, I'm sick. Veini Lachol Leilach, I can't go. So why is it such a good day? So the simple shot is because everyone will be away. But maybe it's even deeper. That here's the day which we could symbolically show Yosef. I could symbolically show Yosef. All of Mitzrayim is at the base of Odzara. And me and you are not in the base of Odzara. We don't believe in that stuff. We're removed from that type of mentality. And that would, on that day, she felt now was her time, that was her way to make a move. She would show him, bring to his mind's eye, not just claim, you know, claim it at some other day, but this is the perfect day. And she basically let it all on the line on that day, and she grabbed him, and she thought that because of the psychological dynamic of the fact that it's clear, this distinction between him and her on one side and all of his time was there, this is the perfect couple. So she went for it. She made a move, and she grabbed him, and she claimed that now's, you know. But he basically pulled away. He didn't fall for it. In a feat of, in a feat of strength, he pulled away. Because I'll describe it as being like this great Kvishas HaYetzer. But you can see it's a greater Kvishas HaYetzer than just a beautiful woman throwing herself at him. But she was someone who had an argument who she could justify and rationalize on many levels. But he managed, he withstood. And then, when he did that, she gave it all, she gave it her best shot, and it failed. And he rejected her, totally rejected her. And then she got really mad. You know, then basically, the Ramban says, on one level, the Ramban says that now she's stuck because she has his shirt. Now he's going to claim, and if he turns on her and says, hey, look, she took my, he has proof that she's doing this, right? Previously, if he would make a claim, they'd say, you're ridiculous, you're just making this whole thing up. If he would, let's say, go to his master. Now, in theory, Yosef has proof. So she knew that she was in trouble. So then she had to basically flip the story and basically make the claims of Ramban says. She had to basically flip the story. She knew maybe Yosef would come after her, so now she basically went after Yosef. And she made the story, not that she took his shirt, she grabbed him, but on the contrary, Yosef took off his clothes in order to sleep with her, and then she screamed and he ran away. You know? But the point is, I'm not sure, it's interesting to study, but as much as she was well-intentioned, when she was turned down and rejected, then she broke. And then she basically went the other way. And she turned on him with, vengeance. Vengeance. And it's like she couldn't face him, and she couldn't appreciate him anymore, because if I can't have him, then no one can have him, and then I'm going to go after him, and I'm going to get him, and she villainized him. You know, and she made him like this terrible.
The situation was that she's basically trapped in this marriage where he's going after men.
Right.
And at the same time, he also has this disease he can't even
sex. Right. But still, why is she going after Yosef, though, you know?
And I don't suppose at that time there was any chance.
She went and she put it all on the line. She knew this was, she gave it her best shot, and she was rejected. That's it. She lost all hope. And now she was angry at Yosef because what does he think he is, and this is what he did? And, you know, there's the guys are quoting, I don't know the exact first saying, but there's some saying that says, a woman spurned, hell has no fury.
Hell has no fury.
Yeah, something like that. So something, I don't know, whatever it is. But something means what's that? What's it from, Shakespeare or something like that?
Yeah.
Yeah, so something like that. It's basically, it's like, yeah, so basically the point is like, as good as a person is, and sometimes those are the most dangerous people, is the person who's on your side, but then you turn, you know, you insult them or you whatever, and then they could go, you know. And he reminded her of her failing, and her inability to control herself, and basically she had, from that point on, she went totally against him, turned to him, got thrown in jail, and then the whole thing, you know. Yeah, but you do see that she ended up, her daughter, I mean, she basically was a bocher bara. I mean, that's not a contradiction. A person who appreciates chachma, but then is bocher bara. But her daughter still had the upbringing, so then it turns out that Yosef ended up marrying the daughter, which makes sense, and that's why she was right. Oh, so what was her thing, her astrology thing? So I want to say, there's two ways to learn that. One shot is that she studied, in a certain sense, scientifically. So this astrology was like a science then. So she looked into the chachma, Mitzrayim. The Mitzrayim and Yosef. And she saw in the future, there's no way Yosef is going to marry Mitzrayim. It's just not going to happen. Look at Yosef, look at Mitzrayim. There's no way. There's two Mitzrayim who is possible. Two women, Yosef's he wants to get married and he's a powerful, rich guy, but it's simply not going to work. There's only two ways it could possibly work, with me or with my daughter. So she looked into the future with her, with her astrology, basically with her chachma. She understood, she analyzed the thing, and she saw that for L'shem Shemayim, L'shem Yosef's mission, there's simply no other way for it to happen. The other way to learn, this is what Aaron wanted to say, is that Zimmer, that that she basically, like, the astrology, if you want to take it as, like, an astrological thing, is that the astrological thing is, like, there's an idea of, like, coincidences. Like, astrology is, like, kind of goes for, like, crazy coincidences. Like, it's a sign from heaven kind of thing. And if you think about it, is that she was, before Yosef came around, she is this Mitzri trapped, you know, this like, intelligent person trapped in Mitzrayim. Nowhere to go with this crazy husband, sterile, low-level husband, right? And what's she going to do? And Yosef is a slave, also in Mitzrayim, right? And she happens to find, Yosef happens to find himself in her house. That's quite coincidental. Now, in fact, we could say that was Hashkacha. After all, Yosef would have been able to meet her daughter, and would have been able to, assuming, it's interesting, assuming, it seems like assuming Yosef didn't start curling his hair and all that, it seems if he stayed an ideologue, and he didn't, like, start showing signs of, like, getting, being interested in his looks, it could be she would have never even made a move. She would have never made a play, because she would have known he's an idealist against the guy, I'm never going to get anywhere with him. But it could be that's what the Rashi is saying, is once he started doing that, then she saw there was an opening, you know? And then God says, now I'm not going to protect you. But it could be, prior not, then maybe she would have just given her daughter over to him. She would have, then it would have gone the other way, and maybe there's Ashkacha for Yosef to basically give him the only woman he could marry in Mitzrayim. And he would have avoided this whole thing, but that's what Rashi is saying. Once he started, you know, slipping, then the Onesh was is that she naturally wanted him, she saw weakness, and God didn't protect him. This is because of his chait. But the point is that, this is the point, is that it could be that really it was Hashkacha, and she interpreted it as being a Hashkacha, as a godsend. Because it's a crazy thing. What are the odds that she'd happen to find, that he'd find himself in her house? It's like, this is one of her wildest dreams. So she saw it must be, it's in the stars that this is going to happen. She interpreted, she rightly picked up on the fact that this was more than just a coincidence. And she thought, it's Hashem Shemayim, that this is in order to help build up the mission of Yosef. But she took it too far. She wanted to go for it. She didn't let it for her daughter. She was frustrated with her situation, and she wanted to be part of it personally. But in a certain sense, it is L'Shem Shemayim. It's just that her motivation is L'Shem Shemayim, but she was a chote because you can't let that motivation cause you to be a chote. You know, cause you, it wasn't justified to do, to, it was justified to want him and to think how great it could be. But it wasn't justified to act on it and to pursue it, because bottom line is you have to be willing to stop. And if a chet is a chet, and a rayos is a rayos, and chotas yilakim, and it's wrong to the metar husband, and it just, it's not right. And as many good reasons as you have for it, it doesn't justify it. And that was kind of his stand and his message to her. But it's not so easy. You know, those are hard things to conquer, because you have a lot of, the hardest chatayim are the ones where you have good rationalizations on the other side. It's very hard to. And you could, so you get a deeper appreciation, first of all, you know, of why Yosef, you know, what the nature, what, why it was so hard for Yosef, and how hard it was, and how much of a model of Kvisha Seyetzer this is for Yosef. It was a deeper type of an Nisayon than you would otherwise appreciate.
But because he was also of the fact
that this is like a model of like a person who was able to conquer the Yetzer and you know, in the heat of the moment. Is most people aren't able to control themselves in this type of situation. You know, she's coming at him, she's alone. It's like the perfect situation. And as Ms. I mentioned, that she was not just an ordinary beautiful woman. You know, she was a woman of ideals and character. And it was really, he knew, who else is he going to marry? He knew that this wasn't, he wasn't going to have many options. So it's, you know, it's easy to come up with a lot of good explanations. Another similar person who this happened to is Yosef with Paro. According to one shot in the Rashi. But Paro and Yosef became buddies, right? Basically became his right-hand man. Then Yosef, Paro gave him all the power. And he explained to Paro about the dreams and the chachma and from Hashem and all that. But then, in Parsha Shmos, Yaakov Melech Hadash Al Nisrayim Hashem Lo Yadas Yosef. So, Yosef. So there's Rashi. One shot says that it was really a new king. The other one says it was the same king, but he made himself as if he didn't know Yosef. He basically turned on him. And once Yosef died, he like denied the whole thing, and he just became as if there's nothing, and he was became the archenemy of the Jews. So the one shot is the same Paro who is Yosef's best friend, right? Habrusa, whatever, they talked ideas. You see, Yosef did this type of thing, but once Yosef was out of the picture, then basically he turned on Klal Yisrael. You know, so the idea of like a close friend who you share ideas with, turning on you, you know, under the right circumstances. I mean, it has to be analyzed, and it could be explained more what exactly caused her to turn. But there's a sense to it, you know. You see, there is precedent for that kind of thing.